Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to preach a message out of 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 to 33. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here, and then we will read the passage, and then we're going to preach a message on teach them the manner. Teach them the manner. Now what's going on is this: Samaria is taken captive by the king of Assyria, and he carries Israel away to Assyria, and then he takes some people out of various places that he's already conquered, and he moves them back into Samaria. And in verse 24, the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, from Cutha, from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the house of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashimah, and the Avites made Nibhaz, and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. So what you see is this: the king of Assyria, in order to really conquer, you know, Samaria, in order to keep them from raising back up in Israel and becoming an enemy of Assyria in the future, he just took the people out of there. He took them out of there and he moved them to Assyria. And then he brought people that were not Assyrian from these other places like Babylon and Cutha and Ava and Hamath and Sepharvaim, and he put them in the cities of Samaria to weaken Samaria, to keep Samaria from being an issue or a enemy, you know, at some later date. Now that was the purpose. But in this particular story, what was happening is that because these people didn't know anything about the God of Israel, when they got there and they weren't worshiping the God of Israel, lions were destroying some of the people. So the king got the idea, well, if we'll take one of the priests that we took from Samaria and put him back over there, then what he can do is teach the people that are there now the manner of the God of the land. And if they know the manner of the God of that land, then the God of that land won't destroy them anymore. That was the thinking. And so, as I read this text, A very interesting thought came to my mind concerning our topic. Teach them the manner. Teach them the manner. All they did was teach them the manner of the God of the land. They didn't help them to know the God of the land. Do you understand? They could only teach them the manner of the God of the land. Well, that doesn't help you much. You need to know the God of the land. And this is the problem in many of our churches today. You know what's happening? The young people are being taught the manner of God, but they aren't being taught to know God. So they're learning, you know, how a Christian is supposed to act in church. They're learning a little bit about hypocrisy. They're learning those kinds of ways, but they're not taught to know God. And because they're only being taught the manner of God, and because they're being taught how they should fear the Lord, like verse 28 says, they taught them how they should fear the Lord, rather than teaching them to fear the Lord, there are problems that are coming up with our young people in churches. And we want to discuss those from the text here today, because the text absolutely tells us what's going to happen to the kids, what's going to happen to the churches, what's going to happen to the future of Bible-believing Christianity if all they know is the manner of God and as all they know is how they should fear the Lord. That is, how they should fear the Lord, not how to fear God, but how they should, you see? All right, here's the problem. Because they're only being taught the manner of God, because they're only being taught how they should fear the Lord, number one, they are living by the manner of the world. Okay? They're living by the manner of the world. In other words, if all they're being taught is the manner of God in church, they will act according to the manner. But when they get back out of the church and they go and live in their lives, guess what? They are going to live by the manner of the world. Look in verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. You see that? So these people from outside, these other nations, were brought in to Samaria. Look at verse 33. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. So they're living by the manner of the world. You say, well, that's not happening in our churches. That's not happening in our homes. That's not happening in our families. Yes, it is. Listen, you bring in the manner of the nations. The manner of the nations is crept in. You bring in the manner of the nations when they're learning by the television, when they're learning by the internet, when they're learning by celebrity music, whether it's Christian celebrity or worldly celebrity. Look, they're learning by their peers, okay? They are learning by their cell phones. They know the manner of the nations that have been brought in and piped in to your church and into your house. Listen, now, I've watched this thing with Christianity for the last 30 years, and people 30 years ago were telling me how much it had degenerated 30 years ago. And I've watched it degenerate in my lifetime. And you know what's happening? Churches are being run by the manner of the nations. They're living by the manner of the world. These things have crept into the churches. Churches are keeping up crowds by changing their music to celebrity music. They're changing their format so that there's not nearly the type of preaching that went on before. You have these situations in churches where the preacher's still good and he still fears God and he still preaches the Word of God, but the people in leadership have brought in the worldly methods, the business methods, the worldly music, and now guess what? This preacher still preaches with some authority and some power of God on him, but the rest of the church has gone the way of the world. You say, how in the world did that happen? Because they are only living by the manner of the God of the land. They are not living by the God of the land. They don't know him anymore. They only know his manner. And man, there is a huge difference between knowing the manner of the God of the land and knowing the God of the land. You see, the manner of the nations has crept into the churches with men from other cities. You know what? Our city is above. Our city is New Jerusalem. And this stuff that you're seeing today isn't coming from New Jerusalem. I guarantee you, when you read this Bible cover to cover, cover to cover, cover to cover, and you read this Bible and you get to know the God of this Bible, the stuff you're seeing going on in churches today doesn't look anything like this book. Not at all. It looks like men. It looks like the world. It looks like men from other cities. It looks like other gods. Not the God of the Bible. And the reason is, they only know the manner. They only know how they should fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. Here's the second thing. Because they're only being taught the manner of the God and being taught how they should fear the Lord, you know what they're learning? They're being taught, listen, they're being taught by worldly preachers. They're living by the manner of the world. That's the first problem. Second thing is they're being taught by worldly preachers. Look at verse 27 in 2 Kings chapter 17. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence. Well, look, they brought these priests from Bethel. Do you know what was going on in Bethel? Bethel is the place, Bethel is the place where Jeroboam raised up the golden calf and told the Israelites, you don't have to go back down to Jerusalem anymore. Just come to Bethel and worship this golden calf. And he set one of those in Dan. Well, those priests were idolatrous priests. And those priests were of the lowest of the men of the country. They were not Levites. No. Wrong priests. They were priests that were chosen by men, not priests that were chosen by God. All right. That's verse 27. Look at verse 28. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. Well, that's where they came from. These are the priests whose bones Josiah burns later on in the book of 2 Kings, who was prophesied, Josiah was prophesied that he would burn their bones because they were idolatrous priests. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria, verse 28, came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Okay? And then look with me in verse 32. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves, watch it, of the lowest of them, priests of the high places which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. These weren't Levites. These weren't the men of God's choosing. These were just men of themselves, the lowest of them, base men. They're being taught by worldly preachers. Listen, the men today that are occupying the pulpits of a lot of the churches in the country are not men with the power of God on them. And the reason is they're not God-called men. They're men that have gone into the ministry as an occupation. Now, they may have felt something. They may tell you that they were called of God. They may really believe that they are doing what God wants them to do. But you can tell by the way that they have strayed from the words of God, that they're not men that are preaching with the power of God. I talked to one of them one time. And he was taking texts out of the Bible, but he was not preaching the Bible. He was preaching whatever he dreamed up or whatever he got from a sermon source or something he read in a book. And I asked him on a couple of occasions why that was. And the second time I asked him, he shot straight with me. I did not like his answer, but he told me the truth. He said, listen, if I preach what that book says, half the people in this church would leave, and then who would pay the bills? You know what that is? That is not a man preaching with the power of God on him. That is a man standing in the pulpit afraid of how he's going to pay the bills, and he is placating the appetite of the people to whom he is preaching so that he can get their money to pay the bills and keep his salary paid. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of men in pulpits today, and unfortunately women too, in pulpits today who are preaching with that attitude. Now, they wouldn't tell you that, but that's the truth. These men are chosen by men, and they are preaching man's wisdom. Listen, if these men were running around doing this kind of stuff in Paul's day, don't you know 2,000 years later, nearly, in this age of apostasy, that they are certainly running around today? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says to the Corinthians from verse 4 to verse 6, he says this, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught." Do you see what he's saying? We don't preach with enticing words of man's wisdom. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught." You see it? That was a problem in Paul's day. Let me tell you what, if it was a problem in Paul's day, it is epidemic today. You know what the problem is with our young people straying from Christianity? You know what the problem is with our young people not being sold out for God? I'll tell you what it is. They're living by the manner of the world. Because all they're being taught is the manner of God while they're in church, and the manner of the world by everybody else that has come into your church in order to keep up the crowd. You got people from Babylon, Cutha, Hamath, and Sepharvaim in there teaching your kids. And the manner of God is about as far as they can get because nobody knows God anymore, not the God of this Bible. And they're being taught by worldly preachers. Preachers who dress like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, learn the world's methods to keep a crowd, bring in the world's music, and enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, there's nothing in the world that can stand. Those young people don't have faith upon God to stand because they don't know God. Here's the third thing. Not only are they living by the manner of the world, being taught by worldly preachers, but they don't fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. Again, 2 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 25. "So it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord." See it? Now, when these men who were priests came to teach them the manner of the God and how they should fear the Lord, you know what happened? They feared him, but they didn't fear him. You say, what does that mean? Well, look at verse 32. "So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the house of the high places." Verse 33, "They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence." Verse 34, "Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel." You say, well, which is it? Did they fear the Lord or did they not fear the Lord? Well, they feared him, but they didn't. You say, what does that mean? What that means is they learned how they should fear the Lord, but they didn't learn to fear the Lord. And there is such a major difference. Listen, fear is the beginning of wisdom, and fear is the beginning of knowledge. And you know they don't have the knowledge of God, and you know they don't have the wisdom of God, because they're making of themselves priests of the lowest. And they're serving their own gods. If you fear the Lord God of the Bible, you would never serve your own God, and you would never follow a priest of the lowest of them. You would be looking for a Levite who was in the lineage of Aaron who feared God, and they didn't do it. So they feared the Lord only to the extent that they knew how they should fear the Lord, but they didn't fear him. Listen, I feared the Lord when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, but not a fear that was taught by God and the Bible. It was a fear that was taught by men. I thought God was awesome. I thought God was awful in the sense that I was awestruck whenever I would go to the church. But that fear of God was not the fear of the God of the Bible. That was the fear of the God that had been taught to be by men. And you know something? Young people are being taught today to fear the God of men, not the God of the Bible. And there's no strength in that. By the time they are late teenagers, early 20s, they're in all the trouble of all the other people that are out in the world because they don't know God. And they don't fear God. So what else is happening? Well, they're living by the manner of the world. You know that. You can see it. Just look at the pattern of the world and look at the pattern of the Bible and then look at those kids and you see how they're coming. They're coming up in the manner of the world. They're being taught by worldly preachers and they don't fear the Lord. So what's happening? They're being devoured by the devil. Look at verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Well, the lion is a type of the devil. And particularly when you're reading in 2 Kings, lions devour, like that young man in 2 Kings 13 that came to prophesy against the altar upon which Jeroboam was offering. That young man followed an old prophet back to his house against the will of God, and he was killed by a lion. This thing is a picture of the devil being used by God to take care of some business. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't want our children devoured by the devil when he's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, then he's got to be resisted, steadfast in the faith. You say, well, how's that going to be possible? The only way that's going to be possible is they've got to know God. They've got to know God. And by simply knowing the manner of God, that is how a Christian is supposed to act, knowing how they should fear the Lord and not actually fearing the Lord, they are a sitting duck for the devil. It shocks us these days when we're on a college campus and we're talking to young people about the Lord Jesus Christ, how many people grew up in churches where they heard God preached, they heard the Bible preached. But may I tell you something? They saw the manner of God, but they didn't live by the manner of God. In other words, when they got home, they'd been to church as if they'd gone to the movie theater. Okay, we took care of that. Now we'll go back home and live like we've always lived, or live by the manner of the world, or live by the manner of the nations that surround us. Okay? We don't live like children of New Jerusalem. So what happens is they get to the college campus and then they start hearing from these authoritative college professors who talk to them about evolution and that there's no God, and they see the peers don't see God, and they get into a new community, and guess what? They are devoured by the devil. We know young people that grew up in Bible-believing churches who went out to college believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, and within a year professing to be atheists. You say, how in the world could that be possible? They got devoured by lions. Why? Because all they knew was the manner of God. All they knew is how they should fear the Lord. They didn't know to fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and they didn't know God. And they're being devoured by the devil. So then what is happening? Well, according to this text of 2 Kings chapter 17, I'll tell you what's happening to them. They serve their own gods. They don't serve the God of the Bible. They serve their own gods. Look at verse 33. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. These are the gods of their own making. These are the gods of their own choosing. You say, really? Yeah, they make gods out of the men. When there's some man that becomes famous in the world of quote-unquote Christianity, they idolize him. They idolize the performers. They know all the Christian rock groups. They know the names of the performers and the names of those groups. They idolize the performers. They idolize the scholars, those that come and attack this Bible and publish new Bibles and that kind of stuff. They idolize them. Oh, they say, yeah, but Dr. So-and-so says, or Dr. So-and-so says, and they follow what he says. They don't follow what God says. They serve and they idolize the authors. The famous authors in Christian bookstores that have all the popular books. Everybody can't wait till he publishes a new book, and they go by that. And they go by what he says rather than by what the Bible says. Now, if he speaks where the Bible speaks, then okay. But oftentimes he says something that is not God's word, that is not exactly like the Bible says, and men follow him anyway. So they're serving their own gods. They follow the speakers, they follow the works that they have built, but they don't fear God, and they don't know God. Now, if you want to do something to really help your young people, I'll tell you what it is. If you really want to do something as a preacher to help your young people, if you really want to do something as a youth pastor to help your young people, I'll tell you what it is. And if you want to do something as a mother and father to really help your children, I'll tell you what it is. They will never get to know God until they get beyond the manner and the how of fearing the Lord. That's right. You're going to have to help them to know God. We lose our young people because they can't grow and abound in the love of God when all we do is teach them the manner of God. They need to know God. So here it is. If you're a pastor or a youth pastor, here's the deal. Get them in the Bible. That's right. Get them in the Bible. Fill them in Sunday school. Fill them in preaching. Fill them in counsel with the words of God, with the power of God, with the Spirit of God. If you're a parent, get them in the Bible. Have family devotions. And listen. Preacher, you live what you preach. Youth pastor, you live what you preach. You be at home what you are in the pulpit. You be in the pulpit what you are at home. And it better be what God wants. Dad, mom, live at home what you portray at church. Live at home what you preach to others. You be what you want to be. You do what you profess to do. Don't just talk it up when you get to church and talk about the manner of God. Don't just talk about fearing God. Fear God. Get on your knees with your children. Get in that Bible with your children and live by every word of God. You get to know God so your children can know that you are following a real God, the real God, and not just living by the manner. That you fear God and that you're not just living how you should fear God. Let them see that it's real. And start today. Because the sooner that they see that God is real and that you know Him, and the sooner that they themselves get to know God, the sooner that they will not be influenced by the manner of the nations around them. And they will live for God, and they will please God. Amen. Amen. And God bless you when you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.